Amen. And for the rest of us, let's get our Bibles and let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I want to read one verse, verse 3. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3 this morning. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God today. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Praise God. Very relevant questions, very important questions, questions that each of us should be asking. And we should be asking on a fairly regular basis. We certainly are not going to preach on prophecy every time we get together. There are other areas of serving God and living for God that are relevant for us and need to be talked about. Amen. But we need to look at the coming of the Lord and where we are today in prophecy. Praise the Lord, where we are today in prophecy. And I believe that we are far enough in time that we can see some things and we can understand some things. And Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Some have said that they know the day or the hour, but they're false prophets. Amen. Let's just say it for what it is. They're false prophets. But we do know the times and the seasons. For he said, it is for you to know the times and the seasons. We can know the times and the seasons because the scripture's already given those things to us. But the day and the hour, he has not given it to us. I want to preach about the coming of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truth of your word. Stir our hearts. Let conviction fall in this place this morning. We lean on you. We're trusting in you right now. Help us in Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to take the time today to bring out some prophecies in Scripture and to look at the Word of God and leave it up to you. Of course, that's the way it always should be, to decide whether or not the Word of God is true. Well, I can tell you this morning that the Word of God is very, very true. We could go back to the book of Daniel chapter 2, and you don't have to turn there this morning, but Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in which he saw an image, and the head was of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and the thigh of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet part of iron and clay. And he said, in the days of the kings of the iron and clay, the Lord would set up a kingdom upon this earth that would never be destroyed. Amen. And so we know the prophecy said that the head was Babylon, and then he said another kingdom would come and take over Babylon. That was the Medo-Persian Empire. And then after the Medo-Persian Empire, there was the Greek Empire. And that was symbolized by the belly and thigh of brass. And then after the Greeks, the Romans came and took over the world and signified by the legs of iron. And then there would be a partly broken of a revived Roman Empire. If anyone is looking for America in the scriptures, I believe that we could incorporate America into the feet of iron and clay. And they will mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they will not cleave one unto another, even as clay is not mingled or mixed with the iron. Amen. We are seeing this very kingdom before our very eyes in the United Nations of all of the countries, the clay countries, or the third world countries, and the developed countries, which are the countries of iron, which is basically still influenced by the Roman culture. in Europe and in America, and I'm sure even in Australia and the free countries. And we are looking at that very closely here because it is shaping up with end times. Jesus talked about the end times in Matthew chapter 24, and we read chapter 24. If you are a Bible student, and I believe all of us should be a Bible student, the book of Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is the chapter of prophecy in the book of Matthew. And it deals specifically of the questions that the disciples asked of the Lord. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? It does not necessarily follow true that Jesus answered those questions in the order that they were asked, but the rest of chapter 24 and 25 is the answer to those questions. And some have said that they know the day of the coming of the Lord. This month we have another false prophet that has arisen. Today is the 21st. Is that correct? Today is the 21st of April? Today is the 22nd of April. Time is flying by, isn't it? Well, we need to get ready because there's a big planet out there that's going to crash into the earth tomorrow on the 23rd of April, according to some Bible numerologist, whatever that is. So we'll see if we're still here on Wednesday. Folks, we're still planning to have Wednesday night church here. Oh, well, I missed because I thought the end of the world had come. No, don't use that as an excuse. Amen. Because we're going to be here Wednesday night because no man knows the day. Amen. To be honest with you, I hope the Lord does come tomorrow. Amen. Today's the 22nd. Is that what you said? Tomorrow. Well, that would be Tuesday then. If we're still here Tuesday, then we can plan on coming here Wednesday. Amen. And so it'll work out all right. But I really do hope the Lord comes. Our world is waxing worse and worse according to the scriptures. I pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Has anybody been praying that prayer? Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Matthew chapter 24 talks about some things here, and I want, while I'm going through the scriptures, to refute some of the modern teachings that are floating around here in these days. But let's just look at it for what it is. Matthew 24 and verse 35 and verse 36, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." The angels don't know the day, and Jesus Christ admitted that he did not know the day. Amen. And so much for a co-equal, co-knowledgeable trinity of gods. Jesus admitted that he did not know the day, and that's actually brought out in another scripture where he said, not even the Son. But what we must focus on today are the things that we do know. Amen. And I want to try to bring them out this morning so we can just look at them at face value. Jesus started out here in Matthew 24 and verse 4 after the question of the disciples. He answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Amen. And so the baseline and the base understanding of prophecy is that we must get to the place where we are not easily deceived. We have to have a balanced understanding of prophecy versus living for God day by day. I have seen those that are so caught up in prophecy, as my old pastor used to say, they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Amen. And we must live for God every day. We must be productive in our life and in our in the things that we have before us. But in reality, we must be at a place where we are not deceived. There's a simple way to do this, and it is through the heart. I want to show you in Acts 17 and verse 10. Paul and Silas were sent away by night unto Berea, Acts 17 and 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. Everybody said readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures. Everybody said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures whether those things were so. And then, of course, many believed, and there was a revival in Berea. Amen. The people of Berea had it together when it came to their standing before God. And they understood that they had to have an open heart. They had to have a readiness of mind, if you please, but not a readiness of mind where they will just take anything hook, line, and sinker, amen, where they will just accept anything that is said, but they have to have an open mind, or they felt like they had to have an open mind. And I believe this morning we need to have an open mind, but the Bible goes on and says, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Amen. I can't lean on mom and daddy's religion. I can't lean on pastor's religion. I've got to see it for myself in the Word of God. That's where your strength is going to be, because people will fail you, and circumstances may not work out exactly like you wanted them to work out. I remember when I first was in the church, there was a revival there, and there were hundreds that came and received the Holy Ghost, and he was preaching about the coming of the Lord, and there were those that believed the Lord was coming in that particular month, and then that was years and years ago, and the Lord still hasn't come. Amen. We've got to take this all with a grain of salt here this morning, because if someone comes and says they have a full understanding of prophecy, just mark it down. They don't have a full understanding of prophecy. Amen. I don't know very many that did in the Old Testament. They prophesied of things that they did not even understand. Isaiah said, for the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And then he talked about the son in Isaiah 9 and 6. I don't think he really understood. I don't think that even some of the people in the New Testament church understood the completion of the Word of God, but there were those that came along like the Apostle Paul that explained the simplicity of the Word of God, amen, and took them away from the complicated Old Testament Pharisees that tried to bring the New Testament church into bondage again. Amen. We need not to be in bondage, but we need to be free. Praise the Lord. If someone preaches prophecy, we're going to shout amen and preach with them. But in the same instance, we're going to leave this place and go to work tomorrow. Amen. We're going to pay our bills. We're going to take care of our family. We're going to take care of our home. And we're going to go on and live for God. Well, praise the Lord. Because there has to be a balance in living for God. And so we must have an open mind, and we must search the scriptures daily whether those things are so. Amen. That means you have to get to the place in your life where you can stay focused on the important things. Too often we see folks today, because of the media of our day, people in our generation today, especially younger people, and this is not a criticism of younger people. I was one at one time. Amen. And I enjoyed being young and all of that. But in our generation today, because of the media that they watch and they look at, they have a very short attention span and are not able to focus very long on one particular thing. But I'm telling you today, if you're going to be saved, you've got to be able to stop long enough, put everything aside, and focus on God, focus on the Word of God, focus on prayer, focus on being in the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. Focus on being faithful in your giving and faithful to God in every area of your life. And that in that way, when the time comes, you're going to make it. Amen. Whatever that day is, whenever that day is, you will make it. Amen. And so we see this principle. And so what I want to ask this morning, are we close to the coming of the Lord and the end of this world? Well, Jesus goes on. Let's go down another couple of verses in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And we have seen that over the years. And in verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Amen. And I've said it many times, I believe that's where we are, is the beginning of sorrows. But we are looking at wars and rumors of wars. We are looking at technology now that has been so different than in the past. We were reading in, I believe it was, the book of Daniel, and he was talking about this these locusts that came out of the ground, and they had faces like men, and their wings were as the sound of many horses going to battle. And I'm sorry, not in Daniel, it was in the book of Revelation, as we were going through the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials that are poured out upon the earth. And I had to ask the question, what was John looking at? What was he perceiving? He only knew of his environment in his day. There were no such things as automobiles. There was no such things as airplanes, and certainly nothing like helicopters. But when he described this thing that was a part of end time prophecy, amen, it described a helicopter so clearly that I believe that's exactly what he saw as it came up. It seemingly came up out of the ground and just rose straight up into the air. Amen. We are looking at a time today. Amen. America and Russia and China and North Korea, all of these nations that are rising up against our world, and some are hoping for peace, and some are hoping that everything just magically goes away. But I'm telling you, we are building up to a time of great trouble upon this earth. Amen. And we could spend all morning looking at the most destructive wars in probably the history of mankind, World War I and World War II. Not to mention the millions that have been killed by their own government in communism and socialism. All of this taking place in the 1900s. Amen. And if you look at that, then I have to ask the question this morning, are we close to the coming of the Lord? Amen. Are you stirred in your heart this morning about end time events that are happening in our world? From the very day that they began to measure earthquakes and began to measure the number and the intensity of earthquakes, you can Google it out and find out the truth here. The number started here, and it is escalating, and in our generation, it is taking a steep incline of the number of earthquakes in different places. Amen. I grew up in Kansas. Most of my life has been lived in Kansas. Who would ever think that we would have earthquakes on a regular basis in Oklahoma and Kansas? But it is taking place right before our very eyes. Scientists are trying to figure out why, and they've got their conclusions and all of that. But I believe this morning that the iniquity upon the earth is heavy, and the earth is beginning to rock to and fro like a drunkard. Amen. And the equator is larger than the other parts of the earth because of centrifugal force. It pulls the earth out. And if the earth shifts a little bit in its axis, and the equator shifts a little bit in its axis, then some land is going to expand and some land is going to contract. And so you have earthquakes and you have volcanoes and you have all of those things. Amen. In a spiritual sense, it is not a scientific phenomenon, but it is a spiritual phenomenon. Amen. Amen. The judgment of God is about to come upon our world, and the great tribulation will be ushered upon this generation, I believe. Amen. Because of the sins, we cannot continue to enslave people worldwide. We cannot continue to have our camps of destruction and torture. We cannot continue to be the way we are, one toward another in this world, and the judgment of God not come upon this world. Oh, America, we're so sick with sin. And all we can talk about is our economy. All we can talk about is our politics. All we can talk about is who is president and who should be president. But I'm telling you this morning, we ought to be talking about the sin question in America. Amen. America is sick with sin. Well, praise the Lord. America is sick with pride. Amen. America is caught up in itself. Amen. And many, many in our generation only think about themselves and what they want and what they can have. And if they can't have it, then they're going to get upset. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, we have a much greater thing to think about and to consider today. And that is, where are we in prophecy? Are we close to the coming of the Lord? I'm here to tell you, I believe because of the prophecies that we are close to the coming of the Lord. He said that there will be famines and pestilences. Some of you are young enough, you don't remember, and it's not been that many years ago, back in the early 80s, that there were literally millions of Ethiopians who starved to death because of famine in that country. And we have seen it in Uganda as well. I believe it's Uganda. And they said there were so many people that had died that children were kicking human skulls instead of a soccer ball. They were using a human skull. And there was death everywhere in those countries. You say, well, that's just a phenomenon. No, I'm telling you, it's not. There are literally millions that have perished in communist China, communist North Korea, amen, because of starvation, amen. Living in those countries has brought about famines and pestilences, amen, and earthquakes in diverse places, amen. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Amen. That's where we are in our world today. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so what I would like to say this morning is that these things are passing by us right now. Hatred for the Christian faith. The opposition of the Christian faith, amen, is on a dramatic rise in our world. Betrayals and covenant breakers are all around us. We watch our neighbors with a skewed eye. Amen. Iniquity is abounding to the point that many have lost their faith in people. Amen. We watch for scammers and hackers and thieves that are everywhere, not just in this country, but in other countries. Amen. Just this last week, I got a phone call from a young girl, and she claimed to be with the Kansas Department of Revenue. Amen. Wanting to talk to me about my tax account. I'm telling you, it's just a thief on the other side of the telephone. Amen. Identity theft is a very real problem in our world. Amen. And church, it would be easy to get a cynical attitude. Amen. And let your heart wax cold. But Jesus said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. How can I endure unto the end when I am as a sheep led before the wolves? Amen. There's only one way that I know. You got to stay focused. Amen. You got to stay focused on the most important thing in your life. It's not what's before you today or tomorrow or next week, but it is, are you on your knees praying and seeking after God? Well, praise the Lord. Are you darkening the doors of the house of God and spending time in worship and praise and hearing the word of God? I'm telling you, the thorns of this world are choking the lives of many, many, many people. It is choking the lives of many people that are apostolic as well. Amen. We're caught up in the prosperity of the moment. Amen. But I'm telling you, it is a house of cards. And when we owe $20 trillion, nobody's talking about that. Nobody's bringing that up. But I'm telling you that there will come a day when the house of cards falls so quickly that it will be absolutely astonishing. Amen. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. What we're going to do is what we've always done. We're going to get on our knees and pray. We're going to get the word of God out. We're going to seek after the will of God. Because, folks, I can't change what's going on in Washington. I can't change what's going on in the next town or this city or that city. Amen. But I can change what's going on in my heart. Matthew 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Amen. What is the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Oh, there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when every nation has received the gospel of Jesus Christ. I really don't know. I believe that we have already passed that point. I do. We are supporting missionaries this morning that go into communist China. There is a tremendous revival taking place in that country. I'm not sure about North Korea. There's not much evidence coming out of there. There's not much news that ever comes out of there. Brother Riley, one of the elders of our church, his middle daughter, Kimberly, married a young preacher, and they've been evangelizing, and he ended up in Germany preaching, and he said the door opened for them to go to Russia, and this week or next week, somewhere very soon, Brother Riley's middle daughter and husband are going to be in the country of Russia preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Old brother Nathaniel Urshan, who stood tall among us, of Iranian descent, His father was a missionary to Russia way back in the early 1900s and made the statement when he went to Russia and preached the gospel. He said that the church in Russia is larger than the church in America. I'm not sure of any country. Amen. Madagascar is experiencing a tremendous revival of the apostolic message. And if it continues as it has been going, millions are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they are saying that Madagascar could be the very first apostolic nation. Amen. I tell you, I'm excited about that. You know why? Because it tells me where we are in prophecy. It tells me that when we look at the Word of God, amen, that it is absolutely true. And yet we are seeing persecution. I read in Scripture many years ago that you will be beheaded for His name's sake. And I thought that could never happen. I didn't doubt the Word of God, but I thought, how in the world, in our world, how could this happen? But we have seen it, and now when it takes place, we're not shocked anymore. Amen. We've heard about it so much, but what it is another sign of the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And some have even joined the Muslim faith that teaches that it is a glory to kill Christians. Amen. That's the generation that we're living in today. But the gospel, everybody said the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where we repent and we are baptized in Jesus' name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the resurrection power of God. We've got to preach this message, folks. There are many, many around us that don't know the Lord, and we are standing on the precipice of eternity. Amen. We are standing at a time right now when the Lord could come very, very soon. We've got to be busy about the work of God. Well, I wish I'd have got a better amen on that one, but I'm telling you, we cannot just come and sit on a pew somewhere and expect to be ushered into all the blessings of heaven. Amen. If you can't do anything because of your physical condition, amen, you got a telephone. You can use that to reach somebody with the truth of the Word of God. You can share your testimony. You can talk to others about what God has done in your life. Amen. And do your part. Praise God. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And so I give us hope here this morning. I give you hope here this morning. It's not all death and destruction. Amen. It's not all negative. And it's not all of those things. There is a red hot church. Amen. That's sharing the Word of God and going around the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And I'm telling you, I may not be able to go to another foreign field. And to be honest with you this morning, I really don't have a desire to do that. God hasn't put a desire in my heart to do that. And maybe that will happen, I don't know. But I really don't feel like it will. Amen. But I do have a mission field right here. I have a mission field within 10 miles of me. Amen. That has over 120,000 people in it. Amen. And there may be 40 here this morning. Praise God. I've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do. And I've been praying, God, give us a revival. Amen. Give us a revival from these dead churches that are looking for more. Give us a revival among those that have fallen prey to the false prophets. Well, praise God, that teach things that ought not to be taught. We've got to preach the Word of God. And we got to be excited about the Word of God. We've got to preach the gospel and be excited about the gospel. There's only one way to be saved. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. There's hope. Amen. There is a way out of this situation. There is a way out of your situation. I'm not telling you this morning that God is going to change your situation. But I am telling you there is a way to get your heart out of the situation. There is a way to be lifted up above the troubles. Amen. Which brings us to Matthew 24 and verse 37. I'm not going to deal with the other scriptures that he talked about. Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Let him that readeth understand. And he goes to some events that are very, very close to his time frame. And he said, when you see the abomination of desolation, if you look in Luke chapter 24, I believe it is, or chapter 21, he talks about the abomination of desolation. And he talks about it as the Roman armies that encircle the city of Jerusalem. And it took place in 70 AD, the abomination of desolation. And then he launches into an understanding here, Matthew 24 and verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Amen. And so it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. Business as usual. They were eating and drinking. We've got to do that to survive. And in order to eat and drink, we've got to make money to buy food with. We're not living in that day where we grow our own crops. And so we are bound by this. Amen. You can work a job and go in the rapture. Amen. Well, I'm just going to stay home and pray all the time. No, that's not what he said. You're going to be grinding at the mill. You're going to be working. You're going to be busy. Amen. When we just lay around and we don't do anything with our life, that's when we are going to get caught up in the things of this world. Amen. The sin of Sodom was too much time on their hands. And they had fullness of bread, neither did they help the poor and the needy. Amen. That was the sin of Sodom, and God brought judgment upon them. Yes, it was the sin of homosexuality. Amen. Yes, it was the sin of lesbianism. But I'm telling you this morning that it was from an attitude. It was from a lifestyle that led them to those abominable sins, and it still is a sin today. Business as usual. Nobody caring about eternity. Amen. Sound familiar? Amen. Everybody I talk to, it doesn't matter what faith they are. They all say it's so hard to get people stirred up today. It's so hard for people to get concerned about eternity. Amen. They're more concerned with their video games. They're more concerned with entertainment. They're more concerned with sports and entertainment and all the things that are going on in our world. And the noise is so loud that the preacher can scream at the top of his lungs and barely be heard above the noise of this world. But scream, we will continue. Amen. Preach, we will continue to preach. Amen. Declare, we will continue to declare. Because I believe this morning, you may not believe this, but I believe this morning that outside the doors of this church there are hungry hearts that will live for God and do the will of God. But I can't reach them here. I've got to go out there to reach them. I can't do it just from the pulpit this morning, but I've got to go out and I've got to reach them. Business as usual. Amen. And then the flood came and took them all away. In 40 short days, the earth was covered with the judgment of God for their sins. Amen. I know that this is scoffed at today, but it's still the message that rings true for every child of God, amen, that's walking by faith. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. I want to read that this morning. I hope you feel what I'm feeling here today. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, folks, there is going to be one massive resurrection that takes place. It's not going to be over a long period of time. It's going to be a one-time event. Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. And Matthew 24:45. I hope you just keep your finger there in Matthew 24 because I'm going down through this. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Amen. Folks, we have been given talents this morning. We have been given property this morning. We have been given the Word of God this morning, spiritual property. Amen. We have been given the Word of God this morning. And what we do when the Lord comes, we need to be busy. Amen. We need to be busy about our life. We need to be busy about our spiritual person. Amen. Praying and seeking after God. I shun to think this morning that we would not feel a little bit of a stirring in our hearts as we talk about these things, because this is where we are today. Amen. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Amen. And he goes on and says, if God didn't spare the angels, he's not going to spare us as well. Amen. I've got to lay aside the noise of this world. I've got to lay aside the distractions of this world. The most important thing is Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. The most important thing is Sunday night at 6:30. Amen. The most important thing is Wednesday night. Amen. The most important thing on a day-to-day basis is examining the Word of God, praying and seeking the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, well, I've just got a lot of things going on. Then you got too many things going on, my friend. What we need to understand is we stand at the edge of eternity. I got to do my life. I've got to do my job. I've got to do all of those things. But somewhere in the middle of this, while I'm grinding at the mill, I've got to be ready to meet Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. When I'm working in the field, I've got to be ready to meet the Lord. And I can do both. Praise God. I can be effective with both of those. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. And just like Noah and his family, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, which sometime were disobedient when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Oh, God, help us. He said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also save us, doth also now save us. Amen. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when the floods came, guess what happened? The ark was lifted up. And the water that destroyed the earth actually became the salvation of Noah and his family. It's a figure of baptism, but Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As the judgment of God rose in this world, amen, as the floods came, all of a sudden they were lifted up and destruction came upon them. They did not know it was coming. They did not have an understanding of the day, amen. And in fact, Noah got in the ark and waited for 7 days before the rains even started to come down. 7 days. But he had faith in God and he walked with God. He built the ark and he planted his crops and they made their clothes and they did all the things they needed to do to survive and to be blessed while they had time. Oh God, help us. I'm telling you, business as usual. Nobody caring about eternity. Amen. But today is the day of salvation. Jesus is coming soon, my friend, and the days are passing so quickly. As the songwriter wrote, the years or the days pass so quickly, the years come and go. Only what's done for Jesus is going to last. Amen. Matthew 25 and verse 14. We're still in prophecy here in Matthew 25. But he said, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. All right, the man traveling into a far country is the Lord Jesus. He ascended into heaven. But he called his own servants, those are the apostles and those who would believe the words of the apostles, and delivered unto them his goods. He gave to them some things. Folks, we're not empty-handed this morning, but we've been given some things. We've been given some talents. We've been given time. We've been given treasure. All of these things have been put into our hands. And he said, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then it goes down, and verse 19, after a long time. Everybody said, a long time. It has been approximately 1,980 some odd years. Approximately, and I may be off on that, I think I figured it was 1,870 some odd years from the time of the resurrection. That would have been 34 AD roughly unto our generation today. Amen. A long time has passed, and many are saying, it's going to continue as it was from the foundation of the world. But he said after a long time he's going to return. Again, we see another scripture that fulfills or gives us an indication this morning that we are living in the last of the last days. A long time has passed, and he is going to return, and he's going to call his servants and say, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your money? What did you do with your talents? What did you do with your life? Amen. I'm telling you this morning, this is not just a Sunday morning stir everybody up message, but this is truth this morning. It will come to pass just exactly as the scriptures has said. A long time has passed. Amen. I began to think about it as I was teaching Bible studies. And I thought, you know, there are folks. I remember a friend of mine in Rhode Island. He lived in one of the cities there in Rhode Island, and he was on his way to work, and he got into a car accident. Somebody came through an intersection, struck his vehicle. He said, I don't remember a single thing about the accident. He said, all I remember is driving my car, and all of a sudden I woke up and I was in a hospital bed. And I had to ask, how did I get here? What's going on in my life? And I thought about it. When we're unconscious, when we're not conscious, and our mind is not working, time means nothing. For those who died in Christ back 2,000 years ago, when the dead in Christ rise, for them it's going to be like dying and all of a sudden flying through the air. Because they have no measurement of 2,000 years. They have no measurement of time. Amen. And so the coming of the Lord is very near, isn't it? Amen. I could be driving home this morning and be in a car accident and wake up in the presence of the Lord. But if I'm not walking with God, I can be going down the road and all of a sudden wake up and there I am in the flames of hellfire. I'm telling you folks, it is real. Amen. The judgment of God is real and we must live for God today. I must live for God right now. I must do the will of God right now. A long time has passed, but I don't have a long time. I've got today to live for God. I've got today to do the will of God. It's been a long time. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, it tells us that he gave them his goods and then took his journey. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. And I want to finish with this morning. Sister Reed, would you come please? Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, he's telling them the things that's going on. In another verse of Scripture, it says that he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. No wonder they were on fire for God. They saw him rise from the dead after the crucifixion. They saw him as he appeared amongst them. He heard the words for 40 days as he ministered to them. They're standing on the hill, and all of a sudden, he's gone into the clouds of heaven. And they were standing there. I can just see them. I know it would be like me. If I hear an airplane going over, I'm like this, and I'm looking, and I'm trying to figure out what kind of airplane it is, especially if it sounds a little bit different, if I hear it just a little bit differently. Look, and I could see those disciples as they watched as he went up, and there were clouds, and he disappeared in the clouds. You know, something gets smaller and smaller. It's harder and harder and harder to see it. I've gone out in the middle of the night and watched the satellites, or the evening rather. When the sun is setting, you can see satellites going over. And they'll go over, and then you watch them, and they fade away as they go over the curvature of the earth. They're standing there, and they're looking up. And as they're looking up, verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are angels. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back very soon. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Why are you gazing up into heaven? It's time to get busy with your life. He's coming back. It's going to be a long time, but he's coming back. Go to Jerusalem. Get busy. Let's get going here. Let's do something with your life. Praise God. Does anybody feel that urgency this morning? God help us. I want to have that sense of urgency when I wake up in the morning. I've got to get some things done today. I've got to do something. I've got to do something for God. I've got to pray. I've got to get into the Word of God. I've got to seek His face for His will in my life. Oh, well, it's been a long time. It's been, I don't know how many years, 1974 to today. 84, 94, 2004, 2014. It's been 44 years since I gave my life to God. There are some of you that's been serving the Lord longer than that, and some that are just getting started. But you look back and you say, 44 years. 44 years? That's a long time. No, He still hasn't come back. It's been almost 2,000 years, and it's been a long time, but He's coming back. And if it's not in my lifetime and I pass away from this earth, I can at least say I did my best. I can at least say I served God with all of my heart. I tried to do right with everybody that was around me. I didn't lie. I didn't steal. I didn't cheat. I didn't hurt anybody intentionally. I can go to my grave and I can be happy that for 44 years plus, I served the Lord and I gave my life to God and I walked with God. Are you walking with God this morning? Are you walking with God this morning? Are you spending time in prayer and asking God, God, what is Your will for my life? How can I take the things that You've given me and use them for Your glory? Or are you sitting around this morning just thinking about yourself? Thinking about the things that are going on in your life? Oh, those are important things. Yes, they are. But it's so easy to get caught up in the cares of this life. And they begin to choke. I don't have time for the Word. They begin to choke. I don't have time for prayer. They begin to choke. I don't have time to be in the house of God. And that day will come unexpectedly. It may not be the imminent return of Jesus, but it may be a car accident. It may just be dying a natural death. It may be, God forbid, that the doctor would say, cancer, you only have X amount of days to live. Then what am I going to do? Then what am I going to do? Where am I going to go then? How can I get started serving God? Well, you can get started serving God. You can. If you're working at the last part of the day, but you go out into the field and you start working, it's going to count. And God can restore the years that the canker worm has eaten. God can restore the years that the caterpillar has eaten. And He can restore. He specializes in that. He can restore and put you on the right track for however many days it's left. Amen. Can we stand together this morning? Can we stand together this morning? Can we just lift our voices right now? And let's ask the Lord. As an individual this morning, just ask the Lord, God, what do You want me to do with my life? I want to be ready when You come. I want to be able to hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. I don't want to be the foolish virgin that didn't keep my lamp full and the door was shut. I don't want to be the wicked on the outside of the ark when the door is heard being shut. And You come and it's over. No more opportunity. No more chance. I've got to get right with God today. I've got to get right with God today. Forget about those that say the resurrection has already passed. That's Satan's way of stealing your faith. There is a resurrection, and it's going to take place on the day of rapture. It's going to take place on the day of rapture for the church. For the church. In Jesus' name. If you need to pray this morning, these altars are available. You need to seek God this morning. There's plenty of time, and we're here to pray. Jesus, come on, let's come and stand at the altar this morning.
Ready for the rapture.
I know this is not a normal Sunday morning, but I felt it in my heart yesterday. Jesus is coming soon. Come on to the altar, friend. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Get ready for the rapture. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. Then you can help your family to get ready.
In the twinkling of an eye,
ready for the rapture,
hear the midnight cry,
when the beloved becomes the bride. He's going to call his bride home. Ready for the rapture, do you hear the midnight cry? Behold, the bridegroom cometh in the twinkling of an eye. Ready for the rapture,
hear the midnight cry.
Can you hear the midnight cry? We're at midnight right now. We're at midnight right now. He's coming soon. Nothing else is going to matter when he comes. Oh, give your life to God. Give your life to God. Give your life.